Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The rear admiral was caught on camera being really weird. Joe Biden fell up the stairs and something spicy to open the show. All that's coming up on I'm Right. I want you to imagine something. Just stay with me for a minute. I promise we're going to get to politics here in a couple minutes. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you've been loaded onto a train car against your will. It's hot on the train car, can hardly breathe. Everyone's packed in there like cattle. And you finally get to a big camp. You get off at the camp, and there's a man standing there. He's wearing actually a white lab coat because he's a doctor. And he's looking at the people who are being hauled off the train at gunpoint because this is a death camp. And he's looking around, and he lays his eyes on the person you love the most. Whoever that may be, the person you love the most. And he says, that's the one I want. And he grabs him, and he takes him away, and he goes and performs medical experiments on them without the benefit of any anesthesia. I'm going somewhere with this, just hang with me. Eventually, you find out that the person you love the most died while essentially being tortured and having their liver taken out without anesthesia. Now that you're there, now that you're in that dark place, stay with me for a moment. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about you getting called up for jury duty. You got called up for jury duty. All right. Woohoo! You find out when you show up at the trial that is actually that doctor on trial. But, hold on. The doctor is not on trial for what he did to your loved one at all. No, he's on trial for unpaid parking tickets. I guess he does this a lot. He's got like 1,000 of them. He's on trial for unpaid parking tickets. And so he's up for serious prison time. He's been warned and fined. He won't pay him. He's up for 5-10 years of prison time. And you are gonna be on the jury. Let me ask you something. You haven't seen a single piece of evidence in this weird kind of dark hypothetical scenario I just gave you. Obviously, we're talking about a Nazi doctor here. So you haven't seen any evidence yet, but let me ask you something. Are you going to convict that person? Does it even matter what comes out at the trial? Would you care? This is a monster. This is a monster in human form. Is there anything that would stop you from convicting that person? Now, why am I talking about this? Why am I bringing this up? Well, here's why. I am very fond of saying some things that make some people angry. I don't say them because they make people angry. I say them because I believe them. And I realize some of these things are crazy and uncomfortable. One of the things sound crazy. I think they're accurate. But anyway, one of the things I'm fond of telling you is, you need to move. If you're in a blue area now, still in the year 2023, you need to pack up and move. If you can, I realize there are job concerns and maybe you're taking care of your sick mother, or I realize there are some people, many people who can't. But if it's possible, you need to relocate your family and get out. Why do I say that? Well, there are a bunch of different reasons. I'm not going to go into all of them again now. Long-time viewers of the show will know the reasons, but One of the reasons I bring up constantly is if you are in a blue area now, it's not like a blue area was in 1980. You have an activist communist mayor. You have an activist communist DA funded by George Soros, put there because he is a communist. He is put there for a purpose, and it is not prosecuting criminals. And you have activist communists who will be sitting on your jury. Sitting on your jury. And these jurors of yours, you know, when that George Soros-funded communist DA takes that lifelong felon and springs him out of jail, and then he comes and tries to stab your wife when you're on the way out of dinner one night, and you have to pull out your firearm and put him down, and it was self-defense, and you're good to go. But you see, it's a Soros-funded DA who's there to help his friends and punish his enemies. So while he's deciding whether or not to charge you, he pulls up your Facebook account and says, "Wow, look at this right-winger. Hey, you see this Nazi in a MAGA hat? Charge him." Well, if that's the case for you, I want you to pay very close attention to this video. This is the foreman for the grand jury for Donald Trump in Atlanta. I want you to know that when this person sits on your jury, as you sit there, New York, Chicago, "I'm not leaving, I love the city, I'm staying blue, baby, California." While you sit there and you just enjoy it up, God forbid you ever get crossways with the law. What do you think this person's going to do with you?
Did you personally want to hear from the former president?
I wanted to hear from the former president, but honestly, I kind of wanted to subpoena the former president because I got to swear everybody in. And so I thought it'd be really cool to get 60 seconds with President Trump of me looking at him and being like, "Do you solemnly swear?" And me getting to swear him in. I just thought that would be an awesome moment.
What would your reaction be if the DA decides against bringing any charges after what you've seen?
I will be sad if nothing happens. Like, that's about my only request there is for something to happen. I don't necessarily know what it is. I'm not the legal expert. I'm not the judge. I'm not the lawyers. But I will be frustrated if nothing happens. This was too much information, too much of my time, too much of everyone's time, too much of their time. Too much argument in court about getting people to appear before us. There was just too much for this to just be, "Oh, okay, we're good, bye."
And if it was just a perjury charge or perjury charges, would that be acceptable to you?
That's fine. I will be happy as long as something happens.
Obviously, this is about Trump, but this is about so much more than Trump. "Jesse, stop telling me to move. Jesse, I love L.A. I got the breakfast taco place right down at the corner, man. I know. I love L.A. too. Jesse, I love New York, man. New York City is like my favorite place in the world. I love it too. I get it. I've lived here my whole life. My grandpa lived. I get it. I understand the history. I understand the tradition. I understand the ties. But I want you to understand. There's a reason all the January 6th political prisoners have had the book thrown at them, because every single one of them have been tried in front of 12 jurors just like that vile little communist who will without hesitation throw you in a dark hole and rip you away from your family for the rest of your life. Not because you did anything wrong, but because we have a brand new Democrat Party in this country and they are activist communists and they mean business. That's why I tell you it over and over and over again, and I'm never going to stop. You are not protected in a blue area. You have no protection. You are naked. You are. Even the cops. What do you have you paid attention to the cops? Have you paid attention to the retirements? Who do you think's retiring? Packing it up. Going to turn in their papers. All the good ones. They're all gone. They're not gone yet, but they are. They're leaving. They're gone. They're not sticking around for this. They're going to go be a cop in Florida somewhere. They're done. They're done with it. You won't even have the cops on your side. Not the cops. Not the DA. Not the mayor. Not the jury. So when I tell people to move, It understandably is a spicy thing to suggest. You inevitably will have people bark back at you and say things like, I'm never leaving, Jesse. I'm standing to fight. And I will tell you, I admire the attitude, and boy, it sounds tough. Sounds tough. You're not leaving at all. Okay. That should be a real comfort to your wife and kids for the next 30 years while they visit you behind a pane of bulletproof glass in state prison because you wanted to stay and fight. And 12 communists looked at your Facebook posts and decided you were a Nazi. You see, they look at you just like you looked at that Nazi in the very beginning of the show. That may make you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you tonight, and I mean a huge show for you tonight. You thought that was spicy? The spice has only begun. Now, once you get out of the city, you do need to do something else. You need to go get yourself a subscription to Chalk. Because, well, actually, you should do that while you're still in the city now because, well, America's testosterone levels are free-falling. 50% of what they were 50 years ago. Now, do the math on that. That's just 50 years ago. We're not talking ancient history. What does that mean 50 years from now? Our testosterone levels are zero? We are on our way to a net zero testosterone society. Natural herbal supplements are our way out. Chalk.com, they have a male vitality stack, fellas. Ladies, they have a female vitality stack if you want to feel better. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscriptions. We need it. Society needs it. We'll be back. That was President of the United States of America falling up the stairs again. You know, I'm going to ask Steve about it. People ask me a lot, who are my favorites? Who do I listen to? Who do I watch? Well, on my short list every time I tell them, Steve Dace. Somebody with actually something interesting to say. Blaze TV host and now author, world famous author like me, Steve Dace. He has a great book out, seriously, called The Fourth Reich right now. Steve, look, honestly, I know it's funny for TV for 5 seconds. The president can't talk. He can't walk. Mm-hmm. He can't walk upstairs. Internationally, I find this to be so embarrassing. As somebody who loves mm-hmm. my country, I think this is just the most embarrassing thing in the world in front of other people.
Of course it is. But it's a metaphor alert. You know, I mean, it is a metaphor, Jesse, for the decline and fall of a once great civilization. This is what managed decay. This is what the end of an empire. It looks like this. We have descended into self-parody. It's a woman going on national TV with all forms of pagan and Wiccan imagery on her Instagram page and admitting that, yeah, I only voted to subpoena Donald Trump because I thought it'd be cool to get to swear him in because I'm the foreman of the jury and they told me I'd get to do that if we indicted him. I mean, this is... We're beyond parody. We are self-parody, and the joke is on and is us.
Steve, okay, I'm glad you brought up that nutball, which we already played at the beginning of the show, and I used it as yet another example of why I tell people to get out of these blue hellholes. I mean, when you look at what the January 6th political prisoners have gone through, I tell people for their own protection, this is what your jury is going to be made up of now. It's not 1980. You're going to have a bunch of activist communists on the jury who want to throw you in a hole forever just for what you believe. You don't have to do anything wrong.
And remember, the founders considered juries the unofficial fourth branch of government, that they were the last layer of interposition against tyranny that you could appeal if the other three branches of government failed you, if state government failed you, if your local government wouldn't hear your regress. You could go to a jury of your peers and get one last final hearing and to protect your God-given rights. And this, the culture that we live in, this is a systemic collapse, Jesse. The culture is the cancer that has rotted away at us, the spirit of the age. It has metastasized down to the granular level. And unfortunately, there just aren't a lot of Ron DeSantis's out there who will militantly practice interposition doctrine of the lesser magistrate between their constituents and these sorts of concerns that you have. West Virginia is a state, for example, that Democrats have not won a precinct in a presidential election. Forget counties, friggin' precincts, since 2008. Their governor was the biggest Pfizer pimp in the country. Okay, I was watching the Alabama-Auburn basketball game 2 weeks ago. This is Alabama, and they're still running ads at center court. Get your toxic jab from Pfizer, okay? I mean, our red states are not nearly as red in too many cases as their blue states. And that's the bigger issue, is the other side has upped the threat level here. Whatever is after DEFCON 1, from a culture war standpoint, we are at. Like, this is like a steel cage match now. Two worldviews enter, only one's walking out. And we're here making political calculations and all. I mean, the social compact is broken. And that's the essence of the Constitution. The Constitution is the enumeration, the itemization of the social compact. That compact has effectively been dissolved. We're in law of the jungle territory now. We need more of the people we elect to understand that.
Steve, okay, we need more of them to understand that. We need them to be much more aggressive. That it is so disgraceful. Look, Alabama's governor is no better. It's just my governor in Texas. Anyway, how do we change that, Steve? I want somebody as hardcore for my side as Democrats fight for their side. I've said several times, I actually admire the communists. They're singular of purpose. They know who their right. enemy is. They know who their friends are. They speak plainly about who their enemies are and their friends are. They don't do this pathetic thing. They're just misunderstood. How do we change it? I want better.
I love what you tweeted out about Mike Pence today attacking DeSantis over Disney. And you said he'd be a great Republican nominee in 1994. I think that we are the problem. Okay. I think we are the problem here. And if I could go back and make a shameless plug for Rise of the Fourth Reich, calling for a new Nuremberg trial. I don't think the political class stands in our way of that as much as we do. Less than 15% of American adults, Jesse, less than 15% of American adults didn't take any of that gene juice. There are so many Americans right now that are concerned. I'm a ticking time bomb. I don't want to be the next died suddenly, collapsed suddenly. I don't want to be the next guy whose sperm motility got ruined, the next woman who's going to have a miscarriage. So I don't want to talk about it. I don't want just move. Let's move on. Let's act like it didn't happen. Chances are I'll be okay. I don't want to deal with the stress, the anxiety. I think that we got so corrupted by COVID and fear down to the molecular level as a culture that a lot of everyday people don't want to have justice and a reckoning because it would remind them of what they acquiesce to. And that's really what this comes down to. In San Diego County schools right now, you and I are old enough to remember when San Diego was the place that Rush Limbaugh replacement host came from. It was considered a conservative urban area. The school kids there at the beginning of the year were still demanding to be masked. Why? We comply with this stuff, and we're gonna get crappy governors like Kay Ivey and crappy governors in places like West Virginia until the people get a little bit tougher, if not a lot. What is our willingness to defy? What is our willingness to not comply? Remember terms like civil disobedience. It's the people here. Our audiences have got to get tougher. They've got to get more engaged. They've got to be more willing to offend. And until that happens, you're never going to get more out of the political class than you get from the everyday class.
So true. Okay. Well, Steve, explain this to me then. I'm surrounded all day, not by political people, because I don't live in D.C. I know you don't either. And I love that. I hang around normal human beings. They're mad. They're mad about everything. They're mad about America being embarrassing. They're mad about the border. They're mad about the COVID lockdowns. They're mad about this stuff. But then I'll ask them, we have a Republican primary. I ask them, oh, nice. It was primary day today. Who'd you vote for? And they all, what? Mm-hmm. It was? I didn't know there was a primary. It never translates to action. Why doesn't the right's anger translate into action? The communists, to their credit, they take their anger and they have a purpose for it. We don't. Why?
I think that's one of the things that makes the founding generation of this country so unique. I mean, listen, they were sinners too. They were imperfect too. But a lot of those 56 men that signed that pledged of their lives, fortunes, and sacred honors were wealthy, successful landowners. They understood that this divorce was going to be fought out on their fields. It would be their sons that would be dying in this. And the willingness to forego their comfort for principle, that is unique. And I think that's what we're not willing to do yet. It hasn't gotten painful enough, which is sad. It hasn't gotten uncomfortable enough. There was a situation in Idaho recently, though, that I want to give you some encouragement that I think is a great example of what we're talking about. Some churches got together in Idaho and decided we weren't doing drag queen story time hour here. And so what they did is they got there 30 minutes before the event opened and took and occupied every seat before the children, the woke Karen mom showed up with their kids. And the woke Karen mom showed up and had to stand in the back because there were no chairs. And so once the show was about to begin and the room was full, one of the pastors went over to the bureaucrat that runs the library and said, "Hey, we're over the fire code here, you know, and that those standing room only people, they've got to go. I mean, there's too many people here in this room." And the bureaucrat was forced to acknowledge this and had to kick out all the woke moms and the kids from. And so the kids were not subjected to this event. And the dragsters, the pedo groomers had to get up there and do their dances in front of a silent group of believers who just sat there quietly praying with their eyes closed while they cavorted doing their acts. That's, Jesse, it's one of the most badass things I've seen in my entire life.
Awesome.
It's power under control. And here's the thing, the men led. The men in the church got together and took the leadership and got angry, but they exercised their power under control and they destroyed this event. To me, that is a model for how to move forward.
Man, that is awesome. All right, Steve, before we go, nefarious. Steve, my wife and my oldest son love these scary movies, man. It is not my thing. I actually am halfway through it. I started it last night. I didn't have time to finish it. It's a long story. Why did you tell me to watch this? This is scary.
Wait till you get to the end. The second half. Oh. All right, we made something they said could not be done, or maybe no one's actually attempted, Jesse. We made a right-wing horror film. And I promise you, by the time we get to the end, you will be very, very pleased with the overall story that we tell here. Sometimes a dark culture needs to hear the truth from the darkness. It'll listen to truth from the unlikeliest of sources. So I promise you and your audience, Nefarious, in his own way, is going to take this leftist atheist psychiatrist that he is alone with in this room. He is going to take him to church and absolutely wreck him. I like to say that Nefarious will scare the hell out of them and entertain the hell out of us. We're going to enjoy watching this guy get wrecked.
Steve, you're the best, man. Steve Dace, Rise of the Fourth Reich. Go buy it. Read it. Appreciate you, bud.
Thank you, man. Same to you. God bless.
All right. Pete Buttigieg, the Rear Admiral, he said something kind of odd on camera. It's not a first time either. We'll talk about that here in a moment. Before we talk about that, let's talk about this. When you go into dark economic times, or rough economic times, maybe dark is too dark, but when you go into rough economic times, here's the thing. You're going to lose money. I'm going to lose money. Very few people made money last year when you're talking about in the market or investments. It's just hard, right? So what do? You're just going to lay down and cry? Lay down and die? Watch it all disappear? No, you have to do something. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to protect it. Put something in it to protect it. So the politicians and all these idiots, so they can only cost you so much. That's what Oxford Gold Group has done with their portfolio protection plan. They take your 401k, they take your IRA, and they get gold and silver in it as part of it, fortifying it. You can only lose so much when you got gold and silver in there. Don't give away everything you've worked your whole life for, all right? Call 833-995-GOLD. Oxford Gold will take good care of you. I love these guys, man. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Secretary, what do you have to say? Hi, how are you?
Good.
Jenny Tarr at the Daily Caller News Foundation. What do you have to say to the folks in Ohio, East Palestine, who are suffering right now?
Well, I'd refer you to about a dozen interviews I've given today, and if you'd like to definitely reach a conversation. Make sure to reach out to our press office, but I'm not going to have that conversation with you. Just walking.
You don't have a message
here.
For them?
I do, and I shared it with the press many times today. I'd refer you to those comments.
Would you mind sharing it with us?
No, I'm going to refer you to the comments that I made to the press because right now I'm taking some personal time and I'm walking down the street.
Are you going down there?
What's that?
Are you going down there at all?
Yeah, I am.
When are you going?
I'll share that when I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm not talking
down
the street. Can I get a photo of you?
Yeah.
Can I get a photo of you? Joining me now, that reporter, investigative reporter with the Daily Caller, Jenny Terr. Jenny, Pete has always struck me, I've never met the man like you just did, but he's always struck me in the debates and whatnot as just somebody with a real simmering anger underneath. And I saw it bubbling out there too. Does he strike you as that? You just met the man.
It certainly seemed like the topic or just the fact that I had maybe caught him off guard struck a nerve. I'm not sure what his motive was in taking a picture of me. I have nothing to hide. I'm happy to pose for the photo, I guess. But it seems like a simple question, something that is of a concern for these people that are suffering in East Palestine. I think they want answers. And it was a public space. I wasn't, you know, going to ask any questions further. As you could hear, I said thank you and then was trying to walk away before he did take the photo.
That's creepy. Well, I'm sure you didn't know this, but I'm actually an investigative journalist myself. Here I was with Elizabeth Warren.
Love you.
Love your t-shirt.
Run for president, please.
Right now, we got to be in this fight. Thank you.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you. Take
care. Appreciate
you.
He's going down tonight.
Okay, obviously I'm kidding. I'm not a journalist, but you are. How did you find it?
You know, my job is a 24/7 job. I was just out about to go to my yoga class last night, and I went into reporter mode when I saw him walking down the street, and I was respectful of the space and perimeter around Secret Service, and you know, was apparently disturbing his walk, and this is my job, just as it is for the Secretary of Transportation. He also has a 24/7 job, just like for us, the news cycle runs 24/7, and you have to always be able to speak to the American people and to be able to answer these tough questions. I don't think it really was anything out of what a journalist should be doing.
I agree. Jenny, I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, let's get to another secretary out there. The secretary of, well, the security of our homeland, Mayorkas. Mayorkas is somebody we kind of forget about sometimes. But keep in mind, America is being remade under the Biden administration. It is. It's being remade demographically. It is not, and I need to stress this again, and I'm not speaking to you. I'm going to sound upset with you. I swear I'm not. I'm upset with GOP politicians and the other people on TV and radio and so many other. They're not failing at the border. It's not Joe Biden's mistakes at the border, his whoopsie at the border. Oh, whoops, did we open up the border and flood the country with illegal immigrants? Oh, dang it, guys, dag nabbit. It's all on purpose. They are purposely flooding the country with illegal immigrants. And Alejandro Mayorkas, he is the point man on this. Joe Biden needed somebody. He needed somebody to take over the Department of Homeland Security who would be willing to attack the security of the homeland. And he found him. Here he is.
What do you think is the basis for their calling for your impeachment? Do you think you've done anything wrong?
No, I don't. I think it is a disagreement over policy, and I think it is used for political purposes to continue a negative dialogue about a migration challenge that is not unique to the United States.
A migration challenge that is not unique to the United States of America. When do the impeachment hearings start? Wrap your mind around this. So I was thinking about this this morning. It's the reason I wanted to play that for you. I was thinking about this. Wrap your mind around how destructive all the heads of the various departments are. We played the Rear Admiral. What is he? The Department of Transportation. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, what's the main mode or one of the main things that is needed for transportation of all kinds? Oil and gas. Oil and gas is central to transportation. It's how man moves to and fro on the earth right now. It just does. Either it directly powers what moves you to and fro, or it's an ingredient in what moves you to and fro. It's just, it is. And yet the Department of Transportation, Mayor Pete, has said everything's a climate decision. That oil and gas is bad. Or Department of Energy, Jennifer Granholm. The Department of Energy, we shouldn't have one of those, but we do. And so it's her job to make sure, hey, we're good to go energy-wise, right? She takes over, and we're promptly shutting down pipelines, wiping out the energy sector. Things like fuel oil have basically doubled. She got there. She's put in a position and then uses her position to destroy what she's there to take care of. Mayorkas, head of the Department of Homeland Security, his job, again, is the security of the homeland. He gets there and promptly begins attacking the security of the homeland. Do you know how bad, speaking of which, you know how bad illegal immigration is right now? Do you know how brutal it is? It's so brutal that the most crazy communist lefty city in the United States of America, San Francisco, is actually considering changing its sanctuary city status. That's how bad illegal immigration is breaking the United States of America. It's filling up hospitals. It's filling up schools. It's gobbling up resources. It is going to collapse the system. And that, of course, goes all the way back to the Cloward-Piven strategy. That goes back to what we've just talked about it being on purpose. This is something nefarious. This is something that they're doing with a purpose. Again, these people didn't get into office and look at things like our southern border and say to themselves, well, I don't know, I just have a different idea of how to do things. They got into office and they look at our southern border and they think, how can I use my position of power to destroy the United States of America? And that's what they've done. It's what Mayor Pete's done at transportation. It's what Graham Holmes done at energy. It's what Merrick Garland has done as head of the DOJ. Truly a ugly, nefarious, dirty people are in charge of this country now. All right, now, I'm going to talk a little bit of Second Amendment next. Before we talk Second Amendment, let's do this. Things are bad. I don't have to explain that to you. You know things are bad economically. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. You know that because you go buy groceries. Everybody knows the economy isn't doing well right now. But let's expand beyond that really quickly. Internationally, the whole Russia-Ukraine disaster. You know how much of the world's food, including ours, comes from that area? Oh, and did I mention China's now getting involved? China produces 20% of the world's goods. 20%. I don't know what all this means and where all this is going, but I do know it's a good time to be prepared. My Patriot Supply has emergency three-month food kits. Not only do they have them, right now they're giving away $200 worth of free survival gear when you get one. It ships fast, it ships anonymously, and please keep it that way when you get yours. Everyone in your home needs an emergency three-month food kit. If you live alone, just get one. I don't have to break the bank. If you live with four people, you need four of them. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get yours today, okay? MyPatriotSupply.com. We'll be back. We haven't checked in on the Second Amendment in a while. I realize we're always talking guns a little bit on the show, but not with AWR. Joining me now, AWR Hawkins. He is, of course, the Breitbart News Second Amendment expert. AWR, congratulations. You're teaching kindergarten today. I just got to America. I don't know what this whole Second Amendment thing is about. Why would the founders put something in the Constitution of a country that would allow people to have guns? Isn't that dangerous?
Right. What is dangerous for people who have evil intent, you're exactly right. But, you know, I guess the overarching answer, freedom is dangerous. It's a little risky. But our founders understood that we have a natural right to self-defense, which is the central component of the Second Amendment. And as Justice Sam Alito has said on the Supreme Court in the McDonald v. Chicago ruling 2010, the handgun is the weapon of choice or the tool of choice for self-defense. And that's exactly how our founders thought. Our founders knew that if we were going to have life and liberty, we were going to have a means to protect life and liberty, thus the Second Amendment. It's crucial to freedom.
AWR, why don't other nations have this? It is so American. It's not a common thing, not in the world today, not in the history of the world. Why do we have it?
Well, I mean, we have freedom. If you look, you say it's not a common thing. Freedom's not a common thing either, especially if you study history. Mm-hmm. Freedom is not a common thing. And, you know, I think Reagan, if you paraphrase Reagan on a lot of his statements on freedom, it was big to Reagan to trust the people with freedom. The people can be trusted with freedom. And to me, that is such a great summary of the view of our founders. And the people are trusted with freedom in this country. And via the Second Amendment, they're able to defend that freedom, whether it's the, I don't know how many stories I write, Jesse, a year, I really don't, on a homeowner defending himself or his family, or a business owner defending himself or his patrons, or just a day-to-day American living his or her life, defending themselves and those surrounding them with a firearm. You know, it'd be hard to number how many times I write such a story. But that's the world our founders envisioned, where we would be able to do that. And that's where we are right now.
Okay, Joe Biden, he during the State of the Union, and all Democrats do this now, he referenced something called an assault weapon. Well, here it was.
It's time we do the same. Ban assault weapons now. Ban them now. Once and for all.
AWR, what's an assault weapon? I have a bunch of guns. I don't know which one's an assault and which one isn't.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to understand the phraseology there, we covered it Breitbart in the 1990s. The New York Times, of all outlets, the New York Times admitted that the phrase assault weapons was a Democrat construct. Democrats created it during the Clinton era so that they could have a whole category of politically defined guns. Then they could ban those guns and look tough on crime. I literally can't believe the New York Times printed that. They did. We picked it up and covered it at Breitbart. You can Google my name plus Breitbart plus assault weapons. You'll be able to find it and read it. It's a made-up term, Jesse. That's what it boils down to. It's a way that Democrats can look tough on crime, but it's an empty term because most of the weapons they refer to as quote-unquote assault weapons are semi-automatic 22 rifles, like an AR-15. You know, the AR-15 shoots either a .223 or a .556, both of which are 22 caliber bullets. It shoots one bullet per trigger pull. You can talk nice to it. You can clean it real well. You can oil it real good. It'll still only shoot one round per trigger pull because it's a semi-automatic rifle. It's not an assault weapon.
Okay, let's nail down on that one. They want to look tough on crime. But Democrats, look, we pointed it out ad nauseum. In my opinion, we do it way too much. But we point to the facts. Well, if gun control worked in Chicago, wouldn't look like that. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work on crime. Banning guns doesn't work at all. Yet they still push this. AWR, I don't know. If I was a cynic, I would say they want to disarm me for some reason.
Right, yeah. If you were a cynic, you would say they push universal background checks and red flag laws like they're currently doing in Michigan, even though the record shows neither universal background checks nor red flag laws work. You know, California's had universal background checks since the 1990s. They had a red flag law, I believe, since 2015, 2016 at the latest. And I don't know how often I cover a mass shooting in California. I know that the FBI last year said California was number one for active shooter incidents in the year 2021. So these laws don't work. But what they do, they open the door for the government to keep track of where every gun is, and they open the door for government to step in and take guns away without any warning. They can have little court hearings and then send the police, knock on your door, take all your guns. That's what a red flag law does. So I'm like you. I mean, not to be a cynic, but it seems to me they push gun controls that open the door for the government to step in and take away your guns.
I saw the Philly mayor drop a real doozy out there. I think you'll enjoy.
You can say you back the blue, but if you don't back gun control and gun availability, you don't back the blue. We owe it to them to do everything we can to stop this nonsense.
That doesn't seem right at all.
He's, you know, Mayor Kenney is so desperate for a score. I mean, he's so desperate for a win. He's not going to get one here, though. And you know, Jesse, I mean, you're like me. Who knows how many law enforcement members you're friends with? Who knows how many federal agents you're friends with? You can't find one. You can't find one who doesn't like the fact that law-abiding citizens are armed. You just can't, or I've never been able to find one. It's a comfort to them to know that the criminals aren't the only ones with guns. But if you do the kind of gun control you see, let's say in California or in the Chicago area or in Washington, D.C., if you do that kind of gun control, what you have is a situation where the majority of the gun owners are criminal. They're the only ones who can get easy access. I should say it that way. That's not a good setting for police. So Kenny is completely out of sync here, and he's so far ahead of himself, it's unbelievable. He's just begging for a win, but he lost. He lost. As soon as he opened his mouth on this, he lost.
Yeah, that's usually the case with him. AWR, thank you, brother.
Hey, Jesse, great to be with you, buddy.
You too, bud. All right. We got to lighten the mood coming up next. And January 6th, I find to be a bit of a bummer. The political prisoner part of it anyway. Democrats seem to be very excited about it. We'll talk about that. Before we talk about that, there is something that gets me excited. Not cleaning up dog vomit. I'm a huge fan of not cleaning up dog vomit. I'm 41. I'd like to live the rest of my life and never have to touch dog vomit again. That would be really nice. And thanks to Rough Greens, that actually might be a possibility for me. Because my dog, Fred, he used to vomit up every meal because he has anxiety and an upset stomach. I know. So we found Rough Greens. It's all natural. It doesn't replace his food. We pour it on his food, but it's all these digestive enzymes and omega oils. And not only is he more energetic, he holds down every meal now. So thank you, Rough Greens. And they have a free jumpstart trial bag right now, too, if you'd like to give it a shot. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All you do is pay for is the shipping. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. Now, when I think about January 6th, I think about our political prisoners. That's really the only part of it I care about. I think about all the people, all the patriots who thought they were doing the right thing, or even some who did the wrong thing. And I think about how, for purely political reasons, they've had their lives destroyed. So when I think about January 6th, it kind of bums me out. But apparently, it flat out excites some people. We'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, I just wanted to remind you, just a little reminder, that you're not stuck in your timeshare. I swear you're not. I know they've told you are, that you went into the seminar and you got the timeshare and you had a good time. At least I hope you had a good time, at least for a while. And now you're done with it and you thought you could get out and you call them up one day and say, hey, man, I'm done. You guys can have it back. Did they laugh at you on the other line? Hopefully not. But they told you no, didn't they? No, sorry. You're in for life. Read the fine print. You signed up for life. That's how they get people. So then you're paying annual fees every year. It sucks. You're not stuck. Lone Star Transfer, it's what they do. They get you out. Family company. They've helped over 18,000 people get out legally and permanently. You're one phone call away. Call 844-310-2646. All right? 844-310-2646. Now, January 6th is a bummer for me. Not for Joy Behar.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy hands him more than 40,000 hours of Capitol security footage from the January 6th election. Insurrection.
Look, it's not like that was a one-off. Chuck Schumer feels the same way.
Senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection. If they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.